Ready when you are.
All right, I'm ready to go. I'd like to call the meeting to order for the April 15th, 2021 Town Council, Amherst Town Council meeting. First two items on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation. We stand to do the Pledge of Allegiance afterwards, Mr. Watts will lead us in the invocation. If you wish to sit down or leave at that time, or not comfortable during that, you may, and Chief Shiflett will retrieve you after the invocation and on with the rest of the meeting, so if you all stand.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together tonight to do the people's business, Lord. Lord, we have some requests before us tonight, and we ask you to guide us in your wisdom. And Lord, we ask you to keep everybody safe as they travel home tonight, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, next item, public hearings. Chief, check and see if we have anybody to address the budget public hearing, please.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead and bring me up the sheets from Amherst, those who are here from Amherst Recreation Center. If there's some there, I'll just take that right now. Anybody signed up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. First item will be the public hearing on the 21-22 proposed budget. Ms. Carter.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have before you tonight your proposed FY 21-22 budget and capital improvement program. This budget has been reviewed by the Finance Committee and comes to you with their review and hopefully their approval. I'm sure they can speak in more detail on any of the specific aspects. We have spent some good time on it. It's not a great year in terms of our revenues. Revenues are soft, but we have really examined pretty closely our expenditures. We're keeping things pretty tight this year, just trying to be respectful of where our revenues are. We are, however, recommending some expenditures on capital improvement program items this year. For example, getting a new police car, because we can't wait forever to do everything. We don't want to end up in a position where we're so far behind that we're going to really be playing catch up in a few years. As we've talked before, your investments are very sound. You have plenty of money in each one of your fund balances, so we're not concerned about those expenditures. But we're looking tonight for a public hearing. You are not, by code, allowed to adopt the budget at the same meeting as you have your public hearing. So our anticipated schedule is public hearing tonight with adoption next month. And I have any questions if you have them. And Mrs. Morgan is on our Zoom meeting if you would like to have any questions for her.
Okay. First, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing, address the public, and then I'll turn it over to the Finance Committee. So we are open to public hearing. Is anybody here that would like to address the issues for the 2021-22 budget or CIP? I'm going to go ahead and close it because nobody's jumping up front real quick. And the public hearing is closed. There was nobody want to address it. Ms. Carton?
I really don't have anything different to add. Besides what Ms. Carter already covered, she covered it in a nutshell very well. We did go line by line. We knew it was a little bit tight, and the Finance Committee really wanted to dig into it a little further to see if there was any wiggle room to do. There was a few changes made, but nothing significant, and so we're happy with the product, and so we're going to set this out for the public hearing the way that it is. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the budget in a nutshell right there.
Anything in reference to CIP?
The CIP is, it hasn't changed really, but it's so much. There's really nothing we've been able to do on it, unfortunately.
We did take the roof off the CIP.
Yes, well, that was necessary. That wasn't planned, though. But we really haven't been able to touch the CIP with COVID and everything that hit. It's just been kind of staying the same. really nothing to add on that.
Ms. Turner, do you have anything you want to add?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay.
Okay. Do any of the other three council members have anything from Ms. Carton, Ms. Turner, or Ms. Carter, or Ms. Tracy Morgan online?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
On the CIP regarding the town park for $60,000, the committee relations committee minutes, I was told from January 28th, 2020, is pretty much what we're going to look at. And there's nowhere on here that says anything about a fence or et cetera for a dog park. Is that not going to take place?
Haven't been decided yet.
I don't think it's been decided yet because we haven't. The CIP is a wish list.
Uh-huh.
So it's not funded in the budget, and it's not listed as a $60,000 item on the budget. So it's a wish
list.
It's a wish list.
Yeah.
So at this point, it has not been transferred over. Am I correct? It has not been transferred over, so it's still on a wish list stage. So after all of this is taken care of, Ms. Wheaton, if you would like for the dog park to be put on the wish list to evaluate with the other stuff, we can add that to the CIP. I mean, in with, am I correct, right? We can add that in and reevaluate it. And if the economy takes a turnaround, which it appears it's starting that way, and we decide we want to fund some of this park, we will move that to the budget, away from the wish list. So what we'll do is we'll say, the dog park people here in town really want that dog park, so we're going to grab that out of that wish list and put it in the budget.
Okay.
We're not talking about the whole 60,000 in one fell swoop. And like I said, it's a wish list that's not in the budget. So if there's certainly comes up like that, like the dog park, we can reach in, like the police department, and I'm not sure about this, I'm looking back here. You know, they had some things in the CIP, but the vehicle was really needed badly.
Mm-hmm.
So we reached in there out of the CIP and grabbed the vehicle.
I understand.
The other stuff stayed there. Same thing with the park. You know, we want to talk about a dog park, which I think would be a great thing, as much as that park is used and by people with dogs and stuff too. When the finances, we go there in the CIP and bring it back into the budget. I mean, then we put it into the budget.
Well, I'm sort of surprised because that was the driving, one of the driving factors for the push behind this park.
Right.
And for it to be admitted, I was sort of taken back by that. And I'm also concerned, obviously, about the flooding. I'll say this one more time. I have photographs and videos from Monday, March the 4th, 2019, April 7th, 2019, April 2nd, 2021, showing water, as you guys know, everywhere. And I just am wondering, is that where we should put our money, the $60,000, if it comes out to that?
Well,
versus like maybe looking into putting it downtown, where more people could use it and it won't flood.
Well, let me just ask a question.
Okay.
I mean, okay, do you use any parks anywhere else?
No, I have my own lawn.
So you don't, because I think Charlottesville, half of their parks are in a flood zone.
Yeah.
Lynchburg, all that I know of except for two parks are in a flood zone. That is land that can be used, and it'd be used for something. They put, have you ever been to Peekskew Park?
I have not.
All right. There are softball fields everywhere, pavilions, and the only park that I believe is not in the flood zone is the playground, which sits up on top of the hill.
We're not even going to have a playground. All right, we have are pathways, bridges. How are you going to plan a, I'm curious, how are you going to plan a bridge that on a normal day is like this, but on a flooding day is like this? And there's no breakdown of prices. When we asked the chief to submit a request for a vehicle, we have, we look at appraisals from different companies. There's nothing here to show me where the $60,000 may or may not
be. Because that's still, you're not separating capital improvement from budget. budget would be pretty.
But the CIP shows those individual prices, I think.
No.
So.
When we did it?
All right, this is not to do with the, what we're doing now, whether we're trying to look at, so. With that,
Thank you.
I need, you're welcome, ma'am. I need to take a motion to set, or do I just go ahead and set?
So the budget, you've already had your public hearing, so it will just show up on your agenda next month for action.
Now for the CIP, I'll entertain a motion to approve the CIP.
And you have to have a public hearing separately.
Oh, I thought that would, they were together.
No.
You have to do the public hearing separately.
I thought I had them both at the same time. Okay, well.
Excuse me, may I ask one more question, or is that out of line?
Is it about the CIP?
Yeah.
Then let me have the public hearing for the CIP.
Confused.
Okay, because I got confused. I thought we heard them both at the same time, but we didn't. So I will open the hearing for the CIP. Is anybody here that would like to address anything? Okay, I will close this part and do anything.
The capital improvement program is found on page 14 of your budget. You have the option to adopt this tonight, or if there are changes or additional information that council would like, you can gather that information and bring it to you again next month. Just to clarify the difference in detail on some of the prices, because Ms. Wheat is correct, we have some things that go in the CIP that have an incredible level of detail, and then we have some other things like the park, that it's a broader brush situation. When the police chief, for example, submits his information for the CIP to get a car in, and he is thinking that he's going to try to get that in that year's budget, he's going to give the altered detailed estimate so that it is getting inserted directly into the budget. The future year numbers are not real numbers. They're estimates that are kind of that same level of squishiness as we have on the park or anything else. So we really do have a differentiation in how squishy those numbers are based on whether or not we think they're budget ready. So for example, your CIP has a whole bunch of water lines at the bottom. I will tell you, every single one of those numbers is extraordinarily loose. It's not a true number that I could say to you, I'm going to take that out to bid tomorrow and I'm going to get a number that looks within 10% of that. It's a gross estimate. At the point that we think we're ready to take that out for bid, or we're ready to do engineering work on it, or we're ready to put it in the budget, that's when you're going to get that really detailed level of information. The park number came in an unusual way because it came from committee, and then the committee requested that move forward on the CIP. And because of that, and then with everything kind of imploding with finances, there never was additional work to kind of really itemize that or get it to a point where we said we're getting ready to spend this money. As council knows, anytime we're going to spend $10,000, we're going to be coming to you. There's some approvals that have to happen between $5,000 and $10,000. So that process was going to work at that point. But I would not consider that $60,000 to be budget ready, because it doesn't have any level of detail. It's CIP ready, just like those subsequent years have. So I hope that helps explain the difference between the very detailed numbers and the less detailed numbers that are contained in that CIP.
It's $60,000 though.
Well, it is, and if we were going to put that in the budget,
that's a lot of money.
Council would certainly want additional detail, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do have a question. Is there any way we can have something sort of thrown out as far as bigger, you know, how much is it going to cost to put in the lights down there, or a fire hydrant, a yard hydrant, and the bridges? Is there any type of guesstimate?
Well, I don't want a guesstimate. If we're going to put it in there, I want to know what it is. And right now, since it's not in the budget, it's just out here, and like Ms. Carter just said, if it got down to where we were doing it, then you're going to get your number, exact numbers of what it costs.
When we plan to move it in, if we move it into the budget, that's when we'll get our,
right,
our true estimates.
And another question, has there been any engineering firms that have done a study about removing some of that water? Because as you know, it's this big and this deep and this wide. How are you going to put all this into that area when it's flooding?
No, we have not expended those funds to do an engineering study. That would also come to council because that would be an expense.
Is that something that will be done?
If we move it over, there's a possibility. I mean, I don't understand what you mean by moving the water, removing the water.
When you start off with a creek like this, this wide, and you want to put a bridge, how wide is the bridge going to be? To cover this, or when it floods the bank and goes all over the bottom of this?
That's not something we're discussing now, because that isn't in the budget to be done. If once we get ready to start it, that's when we'll sit down to our brass tacks. But now, that's not the issue at hand.
Okay, thank you.
This thing can stay on, it could stay on CIP for 10 years and never do anything.
Never do anything yet. That's it.
Thank you.
I think it helps to understand that this isn't money spent.
I understand that.
Okay.
I just don't think it should be spent, period. So
well,
that's not,
I
think my question's answered.
Okay, I understand that. This is kind of silly, but this is how I understand it. I wrote a letter to Santa Claus for everything I wanted, and there was 5 things on that list, but I only got 3. I still have 2 things sitting on that list. That's kind of like what this is. I got some of the things I wanted, but that doesn't mean you're going to get any of it. Just because it's sitting there on a list doesn't mean it's going to happen and anytime soon. There's really no plans for any of it, so that's just...
Yeah, the fight to be had is really when we go to move, if we go to move any of it.
Yes.
That's where the fight is.
The thing above the board, we got to have that. Okay.
Thank you.
With all of that, I will entertain a motion to approve the 21-22 CIP.
I'll make that.
A motion for Mr. Watt.
I'll second.
And a second for Mr. Bunch. Is there any further discussion? There being none, since we're on YouTube, roll call above. Mr. Bunch?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
And Mr. Watt?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wilson?
No.
Vote is 4-1-0. All right. Next item, a presentation from the Amherst Rec Center. Who is going to be doing that?
Me, Mr. Mayor.
And you are, sir?
My name is Kevin Tolley.
Okay, Mr. Tolley, step to the podium and
thank you, sir.
Address us.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I appreciate you hearing us. Here with my colleagues from the pool, Mr. Driscoll and Sarah Pope. I made a short little presentation for y'all to give a brief presentation, so I won't take up too much of your time. Just curious, how many of y'all have been to the Amherst Recreation Center back in Kimball Lake?
Years ago, but I've been there.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, what based on mission statement is we are a nonprofit, community-based, member-owned pool that strives for a clean, safe, fun place for citizens of Amherst County to come cool off, swing, and play games. You know, a lot of the kids come play wiffle ball and stuff in the field and stuff like that. I've been doing that ever since I lived up and moved up to the town of Amherst 8 years ago. Really enjoyed it. Just a little bit of history about our pool. The Amherst Pool has a long tradition in the area. For 58 years, it has been operating as a nonprofit, low-cost alternative to other area pools. Many of the members who bring their grandchildren to the pool today learn how to swim at this pool. So we are trying to keep the facility in operation so that more generations can enjoy the fun it provides. The pool has had good years and lean years. Currently, there's a core group of members who will work very hard to keep the pool in operation. They are supported by members who chip in with their labor when they are able. Generally, there are approximately 80 families who are members. The LCA summer program is a guest at the pool twice each week and help offset some of our expenses. Also, like I said, the Amherst Baptist Church has been a member of us also coming from times too. I forgot to put that in there, sorry. All pool officers and board members are volunteers, and the only paid members are the lifeguards. They actually come and are trained and paid for their certifications. So in short, COVID-19 effect on the recreation club in 2020 was particularly difficult. The RC had to make some tough calls regarding opening the pool with unknown state regulations and limited resources to adapt to the changing environment. With only volunteer support, we decided not to open the pool. We lost members to other pools in the area that did open and lost income from memberships, and also Amherst Baptist Church and LCA did not participate, which the people from LCA told us that they lost members from their summer program because they were not able to come to our pool. I will say that I've spoken to Steve Yates with LCA and told him you're open this year, and he expressed how excited we are to come again to the pool. Unfortunately, many of our overhead costs continued during that closure. We still had to pay bills and still insurance and electricity and whatnot. And 2021 is a rebuilding year, and our volunteers are well on the way to bring the pool back to life. And so, furthermore, I'm sure that Ms. Carter gave you the information that we provided, showing our water expenses and our projected cost for 2021 is $15,000, with 52% of that expense being just for water. And so that's the breakdown on the right-hand side of our last years that we opened, 2018 and 2019. The objective over here tonight for is we're requesting possibly a reduced, requesting a reduced water rate or a reduced bulk one-time fill-up, possibly, if y'all consider. And so for, as far as the Amherst Recreation Facility objectives, we're looking to save money for plumbing repairs. As I said, our facility is 58 years old, and we're trying to set money back to keep this going for many more years. Concrete is breaking the spots, but we've been using some of this money to patch it and repair it at times, facility upkeep and upgrades. And we hope to continue this as an asset to the community for the next 50 years. It's an asset to the town. And again, I'd just like to thank the council for your time and let me come up here and speak about this.
Thank you very much, sir. And I'm going to turn it over now to Mr. Watts and Mr. Bunch from the Utility Committee. I know they met on this subject.
Yes, sir, we did meet on this. And we requested a little bit more information from the pool, which we have received. We discussed this, and we want to help the pool out. So what we're going to recommend here is that we roll them back to in-town rates and create an addition in the policy where it would be applicable to non-profit organizations on a case-by-case basis. So in other words,
that benefit the town.
That benefit the town. It wouldn't just automatically somebody could say, okay, I'm a non-profit, it should apply. It's going to be, they need to apply to the town to do it. So, I mean,
they have to meet certain criteria.
Yeah, they have to meet certain criteria. And I think that that's going to be the most equitable way to do it. And not, you know, we're not going to have so many nonprofits in the area to help put it.
Excuse me, what is that criteria they'll have to meet?
Well, they're going to have to demonstrate an ability to benefit the citizens of the town, which they have. This group has. They're going to have to show a nonprofit status.
Current.
Huh?
Current
nonprofit status. In other words, if the pool ever loses that nonprofit, rates go up again. What else, Kim?
I think that was pretty much it. Yeah.
If I may ask, would you intend this to be an annual decision as opposed to an ongoing decision? So that could be reviewed, particularly as you talk about the current nonprofit status. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that they were still.
I would believe that it would have to be annual because we would ask, and we'll use the pool for example, since y'all are here.
Yes, sir.
We would ask for the pool to each year have to resubmit that you've paid your dues for your 501 and all of that stuff, that you've kept all that up. We would need that.
So we could provide that to the council, to the town? Without having to come back up here, or we need to come up here?
You could just do a written, I think you could do a written request to Ms. Carter, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I believe it, but it just needs to be done. Because
every
if
year.
It doesn't get done, then you lose your income rate. Yes, ma'am.
I'm
Sarah
Pope, I'm the treasurer. So
okay. Oh, you're the money lady.
To show the criteria, you just need our tax filing agreement. Would that suffice? Like
well, and still, I think, and still to go with it, we need a brief statement that you are a community pool. You know, that we need something like that, not just here it is.
Just a letter of request.
A letter of request. So, I mean, we need something to go with that keeps things going.
And that letter of request would probably be best if you could have that to us by then, Sarah. That work?
It really would depend on when they were hoping to start getting the reduced rate. So if they were, you know, looking to get the reduced rate and they were planning on, you know, starting to fill the pool in March, for example, then right, it would be good to get it the month previous so we could make sure we had time to review any information and as a courtesy, I would send that out to council just to make sure there were, you know, no concerns on the part of council, and then we would move it along, but we wouldn't need to come to a meeting again. So procedurally, you, when you adopt your budget, you adopt your utilities policy. If the council would like to add in the recommendation of the utilities committee, then I can certainly add that into your utilities policy. You could adopt it formally next month and make any changes you wanted as to how that wording is, but you can obviously do whatever the council wants to do tonight, but you could actually formalize that next month in the utilities policy.
So could I take a motion to revise the policy and vote on that, and then that will be put forward? Is that correct?
Right, and if obviously, if I have the intent of council straight, then what I will do is go ahead and work with the pool to address their issues sooner, but we'll formalize it next month.
Okay. All right.
Can I ask a question, or are you going to open up the discussion?
No, we're going to take care of the discussion now, since we've started.
Okay, so can I?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Sure. So, I hear what you're saying, but I have a clarifying question. Is this, would they only submit this if they had a financial burden, which is what I think is the case now because of COVID and all this, or is this something that the committee is recommending that we implement long-term, even if their finances are in a situation where they could pay out-of-town rates?
We want to review it every year.
Yeah.
The policy will be permanent so that anybody could come and request this if they meet the certain criteria. But that's why we want to review it every year. If they suddenly like win the lottery and they're just flush, they may not want to request a reduced rate, and we also may not want to grant them the reduced rate every year. That's why we kind of want to...
It's not based on financial hardship.
Yeah.
The main thing is they're asking for the in-town rate, but it has to benefit our town, too. It just, you know...
And it clearly does.
I have a separate question, which probably doesn't apply, but I'm just curious. So, I understand the pool has been there a very long time and it is in need of repair. Do you know if the pool is leaking? Are the pipes leaking? Is the concrete cracked? Are you losing water? Because where I'm going with this is, if you're losing the water and we keep filling you up with water, we're also losing all of our work of keeping the water clean. So we'd start a perpetual circle of both of us are losing. So that's all I would, how does that work? Did you guys think about that?
May I answer?
Yes, absolutely.
So I live on Kenmore Road and I pass the pool every day, and during the winter I would stop by and check that because that was also one of my concerns. I work industrial engineering down at BWXT, so I'm aware of plumbing issues and different things. And through the winter, you know, you don't have as much loss from the sun and whatnot, and the pool stayed full to the top, so that says that once it's below the skimmers, it was not leaking out at any very large rate. Now, during the summertime, with evaporation from the sun, children, it's amazing how much bathing suits and children splashing and jumping in the pool could do, but it does, over time, you know, leak out of and splashing the sides, but I have not seen any significant plumbing or leaking issue from that.
Okay.
It's actually full right now.
Okay.
And we do have, you know, with 80 members, memberships, that's a lot of people using the bathroom.
Well, I think as far as this proposed policy goes, policy change goes, if you did develop a leak, we would certainly expect you to have repaired as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
And I understand evaporation in the summer, you're going to lose some water. But you know when you got a leak and when you don't.
Well, we strive to be a big part of the community, and we hope to continue that way. And we really, really like Amherst.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
For the pool committee. So why are you requesting this credit now and not maybe 5 or 10 years ago? What's the difference other than COVID?
If I may, I became the president of the pool 3 years ago. And as we started going through this and looking at costs and everything, one of the major things was the pool water. It was just a huge price to pay when we had to drain the pool every year to clean it and to fill it back up. It's when we started looking at our budget, that was one of the largest things. I think Mr. Driscoll might have something to add to that also.
The water issue is probably our biggest expense.
primarily in the initial fill. It's a 120,000 gallon swimming pool. And it takes a lot of water. from there, throughout the year, it is evaporation and, you know, a minimal amount of filling it up. In some of our years where we've had a reserve, water was not an issue. For this year, with COVID and having to not run the pool last year, we're thinking that right now we're going to start off with only 60 memberships. In the past, we have been in the same position, and by word of mouth, people finding out about the pool, our membership comes back up, and when we can operate with 80 memberships, we are able to build a reserve, and we won't need this.
So 60 memberships, what's the capacity? How many people actually, let's say 70, is this like 70, it's not 70 people, I would imagine 70, a membership being a family of two or family of 10, you know, what's the approximate number of people participating with a set, let's say 60 memberships? Just guessing.
Well, I would say at least 120 plus children, probably 180.
180 participants. How much are you charging for membership fees?
For a family, it's $400.
And did you turn over your financials for review? I mean, like the budget that you have, where your expenses are, and what money you bring in?
We can do that.
We didn't ask for that.
Okay. And what about rates? Have y'all been, you said you don't want to raise them. Are you going to? Or when was the last time you raised them?
I think 2 years ago.
I believe it's longer than at least 4 years, yeah. Before I was president.
Have you guys?
We strive to give our members more for the amount of money that they're paying, rather than trying to get more money out of them.
Correct. What about, made any efforts regarding fundraising besides coming to us?
We actually did a end of summer bash in 2019 to try to bring more people in, bring new members. We went around and got donations from local vendors and from, I believe, Domino's donated actually. And it did okay. We raffled off a membership, and I think we made about $25 after giving that away.
Have you thought about maybe opening the pool to the public, meaning, you know, like in Miller Park, you have people, I don't know how it works, but people can pay as they go. You can open it up to everyone. Is there a cap on how many people can use a pool in a single day?
Well, with COVID, that's one of our concerns, and Sarah's been helping us with that. We have to make sure that we try to follow the state regulations, screening-wise and everything. Now, in the past, there's only been a certain number of people in the pool at a time per day based off the logbook when they sign in. And so we are basing that off of that. So
is that something, do you think, that your board would consider?
Opening it up to the public?
Like a
on
page.
A fee basis.
Well, based on our nonprofit status, we are membership. It's a membership.
That's not something we would get into.
Okay, like
that.
Okay.
Their business is, they take care of their business, and we're not in to their business. They know what is fit for their pool.
Thank you, all three of you. May I, as a committee, I don't know how to do this, may I request that we see their financials if they're coming to us?
I don't think it's a...
I mean, if we're going to, especially if we're going to start doing this for all these nonprofits, they're going to come to, which would
you... No, we're not going to get all these nonprofits.
Yeah.
It's not for one pool in the whole area. That's nonprofit.
And how many people are in the town of Amherst?
2,300, 35, 36.
So from the point of view of what is appropriate information, it would really depend on what your criteria was to allow the reduction in rates. So if the criteria is, for example, nonprofit status and service to the community, then asking questions related to their tax returns or to their actual nonprofit paperwork or to their membership numbers would be appropriate. if financial hardship is one of the criteria you want to use, then at that point, looking at financials would be an appropriate thing to request. So it really just depends on what the council wants to see. For if the council wants to do a change in the policy, what I would look for in terms of implementing that policy would be based upon what council issued as the criteria. So if financial hardship was one of the council's criteria, I would request that, and I would review that prior to offering the reduction.
Well, but that's what they're really asking for, because they're coming to us saying that, and I get it, I love that pool. I've been there, I think it's a wonderful asset to the community. But what they're doing is they're coming to us and asking for us because they're in a financial hardship. I am more than welcome to help them. But if they get 80 members or they've got 100 members and it is going strong, then they may not need our services. And I don't think that necessarily they need to be continuing this over a period of time. This is just a stopgap to get them through this difficult time, is my understanding.
Yeah, but I said they would request it, though, if they got their numbers back up, they would request it.
That's the reasoning for the year by year review.
That's where I'm headed.
So the CARES Act funding is expended because we took care of with the salary swap and with the spending money on right. the businesses and so forth. So the CARES Act money has been expended. And
then
they're not in town, so we would have not considered them eligible, and we focused on businesses when we did the CARES Act grants.
Yeah, I can ask, did y'all receive any CARES Act funds from the county?
You did not apply for nonprofit status of CARES Act money from the county. That was available to you as a nonprofit.
No.
You did not.
Is it that you just didn't know about it?
Did not know about it.
Okay. I came on the board like this year. So.
Okay. Yeah, that was available to all nonprofits within the county.
We had some, I apologize.
No, I hate to see you miss out on something that was really great.
As long as you're a 501c, you'd have qualified.
I encourage you from here on out.
Well, we can
contact the EDA. It can help you. I don't know if they have anything left, but I'd hate to see you not get something that is available to everyone. That's why I brought that up. So if it's still
and
there for you.
We didn't do that as a board.
Yeah.
But again, we were not, I was not up there.
Right. I encourage you to make contact with the EDA.
So
just check into that.
So could they do that first and then return to us for the...
No, I'm just, I don't even know. I don't know if
they may not have
any money
like us.
It's just for information for them.
And they got to open up for a second.
They got to open up.
That's correct.
All right. So what I will do... and I'll try to repeat your thing from your committee.
Miss Carter, correct.
I am looking for a motion to amend the policy for water to offer out-of-town nonprofit organizations
that benefit the town
who present the appropriate information and agree to, well, they don't have to agree to, that we will review each application yearly to be the recipient of in-town water rate that time.
But it's got to be worded somehow where it's on a case-by-case. In other words, they're going to have to make application.
Do we want to include the wordage that says they have to demonstrate a financial hardship?
I really think I would like to add that to the policy.
That can be one of our
okay.
I would like for that to be a criteria. So,
that's not a problem.
I really think that benefits everybody.
And so we'll get to see the pool's financials before we vote on that, is that correct?
No.
So
no.
It would be all of the utilities policy is implemented by me. So once the council has voted on the policy, its implementation would be on the staff level. So So if the council is concerned about the financial criteria, then that would be submitted to me, and it would not necessarily be anything we would take out in the public. So,
yeah, it's not our business.
That's not the council's business.
I would be in favor of doing this if that was part of the criteria. And we don't have to know, but you would be able, and they may come back and say, you know, we've got all these members. We don't need that. So, and I feel like they would be a good steward of that. And so I would like to add that to the.
That they, that Ms. Carter.
That they present.
I agree with that.
Yeah, we don't need to be in that, and we do not need to be reviewing any of the.
We don't need that in the public, that's not part of the business.
That's nowhere we need to be. So do you have the correction on that before I call for a first? It's clear as mud, but you got it?
I understand what we're looking for.
Okay, now I will have a motion to accept.
With Mrs. Turner's.
I would like to make a motion that we accept the proposal from the committee with the addition of the financials being part of the criteria of that application annually.
And presented to the town manager.
To the town manager.
But we're not allowed to see it.
No, we don't need to see it.
I'll second that.
And we would have to do this every year.
Every year.
That we would have a financial hardship.
Yes, sir.
But do we have to do it for this coming season?
If you would submit your financials to her.
So you would just need to submit your financials directly to me if they voted approval.
I think they've already done that, really.
Have they?
They wouldn't be here.
All right, so with all that, we've already had in-depth discussion. Roll call vote, Mr. Bunch.
Aye.
Ms. Carter.
Aye.
Mr. Box.
Aye.
Ms. Turner.
Aye.
Ms. Weaver.
No.
All right, motion 4-1-0.
Council, for your clarification, my intention, unless you direct me otherwise, is to move forward as if the policy was adopted at this meeting, but bring the policy to you for formal adoption with the budget next month.
Yes.
I'm just looking for the nodding of heads, so I'm not getting sideways.
But for their purposes, as far as they can work here, they'll do it.
Meet the criteria that we set forth.
And all I would want to say, if you could provide your last year's tax return, or, I mean, the statement that you put of your expenses and revenues.
Yeah, our 990 doesn't show any financials, because it's just the 990.
So, right, but if you've got revenues and expenses from last year, that would be great. You can send that to me, Kevin's got my email.
I actually might have it right now.
Okay, you can either do that, or you can send it by email, but we can have that.
Chief, nobody else has slipped in and signed any citizen comments? I got a blank one up here.
No, sir.
All right, next item is consent agenda. I'll accept a motion to accept the minutes from last month's meeting.
Motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Have a meeting, motion from Ms. Carter, and a second. Second from Mr. Bunch. Roll call vote, Ms. Beaton. Excuse me?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
And Mr. Thomas.
Aye.
Motion carried. 5-0-0. Attached, everybody has seen the reports from staff. If there's any that you want to talk about, we'll get to that when we get to management council. Ms. Carter, your finance committee, is that what we've already discussed?
No, this is about the council chambers and the tiles and the water damage and all of the roof.
Well, that's listed here on number 2 in discussion items, but
right.
If
well,
you want to start, go ahead, let's just do it now.
The finance committee met and Ms. Carter was nice enough to give us a whole array of different things to try to figure out and decide, but it's still in the works. Yes, you'll see it in the report that yes, the nice tiles are up and they fixed the ceiling and we don't have holes and insulation falling down. So thank you to staff and the company who came in here and fixed
and
the stuff.
Maintenance,
yes. So we threw around ideas and we're going to be, these are not the LED lights. This is just to make it clean and presentable for us to have a meeting.
Yes, and fact, we haven't even replaced all the tiles. We just put up tiles to get us through.
Yes.
So we have still mismatched tiles.
It looks much better than
it does. Nathan and Arco City worked very hard to make it presentable, including refinishing the tables.
Yes, so. It was lovely. Thank you very much for stepping up and doing what we can. So we just, this is still a work in progress. There have been no decisions. We're going to meet again and look at sampling of different floors and different areas and things and how to combine to make it look nice. So that's all.
Okay. And everybody's information that takes care of number two in the discussion items. Mr. Watts, we've already discussed your utility stuff. Planning Commission was no meeting. The IBA's minutes are forthcoming.
There actually aren't any. We ended up not having a quorum, so we are going to meet next month.
Okay. And the Robert E. Lee meeting minutes from 6 months ago.
I don't know why they waited so long to send them, but that was when I got them.
We'll have to ask one of the commissioners who works for the town.
I thought the same thing.
Put that on your list, Jim.
Mayor, maybe the folks from the pool might want to exit stage right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, y'all are free to stay and listen to us, or you're free to leave. Which, either way, you won't hurt our feelings, but we're more than welcome to, if you want to stay, because we're used to talking to a wall with nobody here.
Our refreshments certainly be free to stay. We're helping.
So, but yes, y'all are free to go. Thank you, Mr. Berry.
You got it.
Okay, moving on, there are two vacancies to be filled on the Planning Commission. One is for Kevin, the remainder of Mr. Belcher's term, who passed away. And the other one is for Mr. Feeney, who has declined to be reappointed at the end of his term. So we need to get out and try to recruit a couple of people for the planning. I guess I stepped on my toes because at the last meeting I made a statement, hey, this is the first time since I've been on council that all committee assignments were filled, and now look what happened. I should have known better. So, and then on the IDA, Mr. Rucker's term expires and he is going to run again. Mr. Jennings' term expires, and staff is requesting that we replace, we reappoint Mr. Rucker, and Mr.
Mailer,
he has expressed interest to come on, right? And so we appoint Mr. Rucker and Mr. Mailer to fill the IDA commission vacancy. Does anybody have any from the floor who you would like to nominate somebody else? Of course, we would have to have them, or for the IDA, because we're going to take care of the IDA thing tonight, because we have that.
So we're replacing Mr. Jennings, right?
Yes, with Mr. Miller. So, if nobody does, we're taking care of the IDA. I'm asking that y'all look out in the public and see who you might be able to tap for the Planning Commission. The two openings we have.
I brought the last two, and I'm professional.
So I will entertain a motion to appoint Mr. Rucker and Mr. Mayer to the IDA.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Turner.
A second.
And a second from Mr. Watts. Any discussion on that? There being none, Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Mr. Butch?
Aye.
Motion carried, 5-0-0. Ms. Carter, you're on the stage.
Okay, so Council Chamber refit, there are just a couple things I want to make you all aware of, and then I'm going to request purchase approval from the council. So taped on the window over there, you will see four different films. One of the suggestions that I have made, and I actually don't need purchase approval because of the cost of this, but I really want to just make sure council is comfortable with the idea. I would like to, as a part of doing the chamber's refit, get films put on the three windows here and the door. I'm less concerned about the door there or the windows going this way, but what I'm looking for is actually where I'm sitting, it would be the bottom right film, which is actually the darkest appearing film, is a mirrored surface on the other side. And if you have a film like that, what you get is the inability for somebody to easily see in when it's dark outside and you have the lights on in here. From my perspective as your staff person, I'm looking at this as a safety issue. I'm not a fan of people readily being able to just drive through this very easy kind of circle here and be able to just see what's going on inside. It's a strange time we live in. I would also like to get the same kind of security film that we had done at the police department, which adds a little bit more, it gives a little bit extra tension to the glass so that it is less breakable. They don't make like a ballistic film. It just is a shatterproof. It almost makes it like safety glass. So again, a little more protection for the council in your meeting, and both of these are not something we need purchase approval for, but I just want to make sure council's comfortable with it because it's a change. Don't even have to decide tonight. It can go back to the committee, but just wanted to put those up while you're all here. The $12,000 figure is to do. We did not do anything yet with the insulation. We had DMV coming, and we knew we were going to have this meeting, so we really have just put up. Charles and his guys have just dealt with this roof issue forever. Charles is going to be the happiest camper there is when all this is just taken care of. It's like having a renovation at home. You're just so relieved when it's over. The pain has stopped. But the $12,000 plus or minus figure would take care of insulation, ceiling tiles, new grates, LED lights. We then would work on actually getting rid of some of these receptacles, moving those down, kind of taking care of those kinds of packages. You know, this plus probably a little bit more from the budget, but wanted to get approval on that. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Mr. Thompson's here, he can answer questions for you.
Okay, so do you want, I mean, if council wants to talk about it and approve one of the films, do you want to take care of that now and then move on to the other?
If council has an opinion about it now, or we can send that back to the committee, is fine with me too. I just, since you were all here, I just wanted to take those up so people could see them.
Well, let me open it up to council and see what their opinion is.
Yes, sir.
First off, though, I will open it up to the committee. And then let them express their opinions on that, and then I'll open it up to council.
Okay.
Okay, so committee.
We had talked about the film in the meeting, in our meeting. I too am one of safety. I know that it may not look appealing from the outside, but my whole thing is safety. I want to know that whoever's in this room, whether it be us or someone else, the DMV, whoever it is, because this room is a public room, I want to know that it has the best safety possible. So my recommendation is a safety one, and I mean that's my choice. That's not my recommendation. That's what I personally like. But all these other things we discussed and moving forward with. So that was the committee.
Ms. Carter?
Well, I actually have a different opinion. I was not in favor of the mirrored glass because I felt like it isolated people from doing the exact opposite of what you're concerned about. Is that if you were coming in, you could see that a meeting was going on and that you were in the right place, and it's less inviting for those who are coming in to come to a meeting. Oh yes, it started, or no it hasn't, or and in some of those other films you can't see directly in, but you can see movement, or you can see that you're in the right place, or so I just had a different perspective on it than Ms. Carton did.
Okay. Does anybody else like, and I will really don't want to hold it up, but I mean, I can bring it to council.
Yeah, I'd love to hear if everybody's got an opinion that they
I think that you know, it's all too easy for somebody to stand out there. We can't see them, but they can see us.
Mm-hmm. And the other one thing I would like to throw in is with the mirror, with it increases the tension, even a brick, which is very common now, with y'all sitting right there, if somebody came through and tossed a brick, y'all gonna all get eat up badly with glass. Where with that on, that is gonna it's going to add that extra level of protection because it's going to hold that glass together. Whereas now, if somebody tossed a brick or a block, glass is going to go cover this entire room. And that's, I agree wholeheartedly with Ms. Carton. Safety should be paramount. That's my opinion.
I think this town's very safe. We've been very lucky so far. I understand and respect the need and the desire for protection or, from a brick or whatever, but I totally agree with this term. And we can always add it later, can't we? How does that work?
When somebody with a mental issue who's mad at one of us stands outside that glass with a scope on their rifle because they are mentally unstable, later they're going to do it. That's my opinion.
I just think, all right, Mr. Bush, do you have anything you'd like to add? I don't know. I will call for
I see value in both arguments, but I would probably lean towards the darker one.
Okay, well, I will call for a vote. We're voting on the darker one.
The safety
glass with the, that is what we're voting on. If it does not pass, then the other two, we will bring that back to committee, and committee will bring something to council. So, I will entertain a motion that we accept for the darker one with the for the safety glass in the tent. I'll get a discussion on the second. Okay.
I'll make a motion for the safety glass.
I've got a motion from Ms. Carton for the safety. I have a second from Mr. Bunch. Now discussion.
No.
So, this is from Mrs. Carter. Do we have the funds and the budget to do that component along with, is that included in this?
It is not, but that is a low enough price point that it doesn't conflict with our purchasing policy for me to move forward with that out of my contingency budget.
Okay.
So I have the ability to just take care of that if it's something the council wants. I just didn't feel comfortable making that alteration to council chambers without seeking council's opinion because I suspected that we're not going to all agree. The other thing I would point out is my concern about the safety in terms of the reflectiveness. I would actually look for the darker one just on the council chambers. I agree with Mrs. Turner and Ms. Wheaton that it would be nice to have the more transparent look on the door here.
Right.
So that you would see that there's a light on, you would be able to tell the lights are on in here and that light's on and that door's open. So that would be my intention, and then I would actually look for the safety film, which is not reflective, but the safety film to be on all of the windows on Town Hall. So just to clarify what my intentions have been in bringing it.
Okay, now I will call the vote. Mr. Bunch?
Aye.
Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Well, I don't want to get shot, so I'll say yes. you put the fear in me.
Motion is carried 5-0-0.
Well, going to the various courts in the different townships and cities, it's like that.
It is that, yeah.
From Waynesburg, Charlottesville, good Lordy mercy, it's pitch black. You can't, I was in Northern Virginia when the Malvo shootings were occurring, Mayor.
So was I.
And I was sitting in a seminar in a room like this, ground level, and the windows were exposed. Well, I think I stayed there about 5 minutes and said, the heck with this, it's not worth it. So it
yeah, and
it's unfortunate, but it's a sign.
Right. It's our
sign of the times. So.
That's just my.
No, we had nothing that we did separate. No. Yeah, because it was separate. I did the film first and then So, Ms. Carter has also explained to us about getting all the work done and getting everything back straight with the tiles, the lights, and all that stuff. Bring this up. So I will accept a motion for that
$72
to do that. I have a motion.
Make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Carton. We have a second.
I'll second.
Second from Mr. Bunch. Does anybody else have anything further to say on that? Do you know? Vote. Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Ms. Watts.
Are you
Mr. Watts? I'm going, Ms. Turner. My mind just went.
That's okay.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay, Ms. Carton.
You get Mr. Watts.
Yeah, I called him Ms. Watts, but I got him. I skipped him.
I didn't say anything. I said you missed one.
Aye.
Okay, Ms. Bunch.
Aye.
Okay, there we go. It's carried. 500. We got it, okay? We got that through, Ms. Carter, okay? So now, let's go. I will say one thing. Don't shoot the messenger. Mr. Carter, bucket.
This is one of those things I hate to even bring up. It disgusts me. I'm irritated about it, but I'm going to do my best to get through it. So, the bucket truck has been a long, convoluted process, and I think Mr. Thompson came today just to make sure that, you know, y'all didn't beat me up for it. So, when we went and had the inspection done, Mr. Thompson took the truck, and he always gets it shined up and looking good, and for the first time, it failed. And I brought counsel a price of $4,907.42 and said, let us know what you want to do. And I think I even mentioned that Mr. Thompson had worked with the company and asked some questions, and through his asking the questions, the price came down. Well, when he actually went to pull the trigger, based on counsel saying, hey, spend this money and get the truck going, when he actually went to get the work done, they said, oh yeah, we goofed up. That estimate we gave you, it should have been the original one, which was $7,538.42. That was our mistake, our bad, so sorry. I called and had a conversation with Custom Truck, and I said, I just need you to understand how bad your company looks. Because Mr. Thompson documented the fact that they said, and he confirmed, this is the right price because, like, that's the correct price? I mean, this is all documented. And he's like, I know, we just made a mistake. And I'm like, it looks bad because y'all have approved. Your company has inspected this truck multiple years, and none of these things failed before. Suddenly, it now fails all of these things. And then he tried to confirm a price with you. You told him the lower price and confirmed it. He said, I know it looks bad. I'm sorry. It just is what it is. We can't eat the difference in cost. The cost is $7,538.42. He made noises like, you know, maybe we could come off like a couple hundred dollars, but that's it. I just really, it left a bad taste in my mouth, I even said to him, because he was trying to explain it to me, and he was like, well, I hope you express, you know, my apologies to council. I said, you're welcome to come to council, and you can tell them. And he declined to come. He was like, no, you can let them know, and you know, that's okay, I don't need to do that. So I really just, again, this is now over the amount that we would want purchasing anyway, but I also just wanted to come to council and go, here's the real number now.
Is there anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
We can get this.
What?
Mr. Watts, they got the only show in town, unfortunately.
Where's town, Lynchburg?
Mm-hmm.
Lynchburg. They do all of everybody's installation. They actually sell the units, new units, new and used.
What about somebody from Richmond?
I haven't reached out that far, but looking on the internet, and the prices I gave, sir, are the middle of the road on new stuff. And let me say something to clarify. This is two inspections. It's a Virginia State inspection on the vehicle, and it's an ANSI inspection on the actual bucket, the mechanism, the guy in the bucket, all that, airlines, hydraulics. And so that's everything together. I talked to sir, if we broke out the tires are dry rotting on the truck, like most vehicles that set for a long time, we don't use the truck every day. To look at them, they look new, but they're dry rotted. So that's a big, if you back out some of the stuff that's down, the problem period that we highlighted is I ordered a cover, which is the last thing listed, and when I ordered the cover, they gave us the price, then it disappeared. The bucket disappeared off, the $2,600 disappeared off of their quote. So But we can get some more prices, but, you know, it's pretty cut and dried. It's things that, it's a bucket. The bucket itself is a fiberglass, you know, unit.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Thomas?
Please.
If we, after discussion, because I know there's going to be a lot of discussion, but if after discussion we go ahead and let, what was the name of this company again?
Custom Truck.
Custom Truck take care of this one under our not being real happy with what they did with it. And you were tasked with researching companies within a range, Richmond, Charlottesville, Danville.
Sure, absolutely.
Alta Vista, you know, anything within a reasonable time drive.
Right.
Within a 2-hour drive.
Within a 2-hour, would you?
Will the truck drive for 2 hours?
I just have to go.
Yeah, it will. Okay. So, but I mean, would you accept that and say, okay, this year, and make it clear to them now, we're shopping because of what you did to us. You know,
yes, sir. Again, if the bucket, the $2,600 is the key here, as far as the ANSI inspection.
Right.
The inspection itself was $525. So if you break it down and break it apart, that's really the killer that was the deciding point. And that's what happened. Somebody along the way, and again, like Sarah said, this company has been bartered a couple times. So when I came here, the truck hadn't been inspected. So that was the first thing we done. So that had passed inspection all the way down to this time, and that's the reason it looked kind of foreign. What was wrong that it didn't fail up to this point? Mm-hmm. The failure on the bucket was there all along. It was somebody drilled holes in the bottom of the fiberglass bucket so water wouldn't stand in the bucket and wouldn't freeze and burst the fiberglass. That's basically what happened somewhere along the line.
So they damaged the integrity of the bottom of the bucket.
Basically, and they, you know, whoever passed it up was taking a chance on if that resulted in somebody getting killed, they passed it. That right. They okayed it to this point. And apparently this young man didn't feel comfortable, and I understand that part of it. It's just the price and difference is the first one, then the second one, and that's kind of where it all got to.
They made an error.
They made an error by
dropping it off.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
So I mean, that could really have been a computer glitch, just as easy as anything else.
It could. Right. And the only thing I just want y'all to know is that Mr. Thompson asked the question, right, because this is not where he got a different price and went, oh great, cool, and went on. Mm-hmm. He went back and said, is that the correct price? And so somebody got a little bit ahead of themselves. But
and I understand this needs to be done. So, I mean, if y'all got something you got to do.
Yes, sir. Actually, the pancake banner is due to go up the 22nd. Okay. And that's next week. So, but we can rent something. If we want to think about this, look at it, talk about it some more, we can always rent something to do as needed. Christmas time is the biggie with us. We do maintenance with cutting back trees and right-of-ways and stuff that we can get up high and only trim rather than have to cut stuff down. So it's really nice having it when we need it. We do not utilize it every day, but it's right. Nice to have it
well,
when we need it.
Before we have any more questions, we'll bring it to the vote. I mean, if we pass this, because we all see where the... Yeah, I'm going to get to him in a minute. He's back there making faces at me.
I'm trying to say, I'll be out a little bit.
Okay. All right, go ahead. All right, then.
Yeah, there was another option that day. I seen them. I meant to tell Charles about this a couple weeks ago. They have trailers now with buckets on them. Right, brand new. They jack you all up. These guys use them in the parking lots to change the lights out.
And yeah.
I don't know the prices on them, but I think it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper than buying a truck.
Well, but we're not buying a truck today. So we get
right.
It fixed.
But,
and that, I mean, that opens up options.
Yeah.
Chief, no. That opens up options, which my thought, I don't have a vote on this puppy, but my thought is we all see where the mess up happened on this bill. But it's going to come a time that we're going to have to do something with the truck anyway. That's known. We've discussed that for the last several years. And my thought, would be that we put this to a vote and get it approved, but we're going to task Mr. Thompson to look for other companies, and something like Chief brought up, a smaller thing that can be carried around. I know they've got some of those big scissors. I've seen in Charlotte, North Carolina, they have them in like every parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. So, as soon as I get through rambling.
Okay.
And Mr. Mayor, I can get that price down because we can put the tires on a truck. If we decide that we're going to do the work, then I can do that maybe cheaper than they can. And a tire's a tire. You know, if they're okay with that, and I don't see why they wouldn't. If your car fails an inspection, a Virginia State inspection, because it doesn't have tires, you don't have to use a guy that done an inspection. You can go get a set of tires. So I can... We may get a better deal, you know, somewhere, and I can take care and get that down, possibly, you know, some money. But
how much would it cost to rent something for next week to do the pancake sign?
I have a call into a rental company now, ma'am, waiting on that answer, just so that we don't run it down to the wire.
I'd like to throw an idea out, and it's kind of on the good lines. You got almost $8,000 in repairs on something that we're going to start looking at something newer to look at. I would suggest that you rent something for next week, but I'm guessing in my realm, maybe $250. I don't know that.
Right.
For the day or whatever to do the pancake, and then seriously look at spending what we would have spent for fixing it for now, and really maybe look at something. I don't know what the prices are, but maybe we
might
spend
$7,000.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I'd just like to toss out there some time. If we get it fixed and we start in earnest, like we asked, that he starts looking, we turn around and sell that truck, we're going to get a lot more for it if it's good.
Right. Well, that's true.
Than if it's broke.
That's true.
If it's got a current inspection on it, and we can hand them the bucket inspection, we're going to get a lot more money for that truck than we would if it's broke sitting in a lot.
So let me ask you something, Charles. Yeah. Is that truck, I have one of my moments. My second moments.
Well, I thought you missed lots.
Yeah, it is. Is the truck totally out of service because it failed the inspection?
Mm-hmm. Legally, yes, sir.
Okay. Then you're not going to be able to get that work done by next week. You're still going to have to rent something.
Right.
Okay.
At this point.
But if
borrow something, you know, somebody. I have contacts with other people that may do us a favor or something.
Yeah, I think you've done that before. On something
you have to rent.
Well, let that go.
Just let them get
that'll be the worst case scenario.
All right. I'm going to entertain a motion to pay the $7,000 and some change. To get the bucket truck repaired, and also at the end of whoever does the motion, then we would like to task Mr. Thompson to look at other repair facilities and other options that would work with the town, as like Chief showed you about something pulled on a trailer or different kind of lifts. Of all of that, we've got a year, so. You know, that gives you something that gives you time to do around your thing, okay?
Yes, sir.
I will entertain a motion for that. I have a motion from Mr. Bunch. I have a second. I have a second from Mr. Watts. Ms. Bunch.
It's in order.
It isn't.
Ms. Garten?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheat?
Aye.
Motion carries. 500. Ms. Carter, back at you.
I just wanted to give council a brief update on the American Rescue Plan. There has been so much coverage in, you know, the media and folks talking about all the money that's coming out of the federal government, and it is a tremendous amount of money. I don't know if any of y'all have really looked at the statistics about how much money $1 trillion is. And you know, the best example I found was somebody who related it to time. like what's a million seconds versus a billion seconds versus a trillion seconds, and you know, a billion seconds is like 31 years, and a trillion seconds is 31,000 years. I mean, it's unbelievable amounts of money. So we know that on this last go around with the American Rescue Plan, money is coming to the localities, and it is it's a really interesting formula that was put out there. It's not just population based; it's also got some kind of entitlement community need based element to it. Cities are getting substantially more than counties on this go around. Towns are being handled separately. The best we know at this point is that guidance on this is being written by the Treasury Department now. The guidance is due to be out 60 days after the legislation was passed. We know what the money was on the kind of line item listing that was done by the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, when the legislation was passed. We do not know what the amount will be when Treasury's done with it. So, I guess I want everybody to be real cautious as all this kind of conversation's going on, because Treasury has been given broad authority in being able to write the guidance. So sometimes this money is done very finitely, and they don't really have a lot of ability to change it. This one is broad. So the amount of money, I mean, literally the range I have seen for how much the town is going to get is $400,000 to $1.9 million.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a big range.
It's a big range. And so I really, you know, I kind of want to put this in your minds that we will be having conversations, and we are that's planning to, the mayor and I have talked about having a follow-up kind of retreat discussion. But we're going to need to know what the guidance from Treasury is about how we can spend the money. We're going to need to know what the guidance from Treasury is about, you know, exactly how much it is. We know it's going to be delivered in two tranches. And the money will not have to be spent until the end of 2024. So we have a lot more time. So there isn't this like need to just, we've got to make the decision like we had with the CARES Act funding. Much broader. We do know there is going to be the ability in the legislation, there is a revenue replacement element. It's based on your last fiscal year that you want to use. So I'm suspecting for us, I don't know if it's going to be 19 or 20. Tracy's going to actually pull out numbers and figure out. So you can actually revenue replace. So I'm anticipating we would revenue replace in the general, the water, and the sewer fund to deal with soft revenues. And then we know that there's going to be water and wastewater infrastructure spending that's allowed. Beyond that, we don't know much. I mean, everybody's just waiting for the guidance. But there's a whole lot of folks that are kind of getting very far ahead of themselves, going like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And it's really a time to just kind of understand there's money coming. You've got plenty of time. And when the time comes that we know what the money is and what the guidance is, we will have a whole meeting to talk about what to do with it. So just wanted to give you that update kind of in a public forum to go, it's coming. We're going to talk about it. We'll talk about it again in a public forum, and we'll have guidance when we do.
Yeah, but when I talked to Ms. Carter about this, and I know I mentioned something to Mr. Watts, not about the money, this was before I knew the money was coming, but once we figure out the exact path, the exact direction, how much we're going to get, I would like to have an evening retreat, like a 6 to 9, one night during the week, something like that. We don't need to bring in a facilitator because it's just going to be us, and Ms. Carter can direct us, and we will all sit down and work. And I think that's a good way to handle it. And then once we get the handle, then we bring it back to council and, I mean, and do our vote or whatever. But I think if we all just sit down in a relaxed atmosphere and hash it out, I think we can all get to an equal conclusion on that.
May we meet sooner than later?
Well, we don't know.
Whether or not we get this funding, I think it would be great to start talking about things that we could do for our town, with or without the funds. I mean, just as a wish list, yet again.
Well, I think we should wait to see what they do, because they say within 60 days.
It's supposed to be 60 days, so I think thought was probably around beginning of June would probably be a good time.
Okay.
So we're not talking about 6 months. It's going to be in the next couple
So at that point, then we will sit down and figure it out. So. All right. With all that, we'll go matters from staff.
No, sir.
Mr. Thompson, do you have anything you'd like to add? Chief.
A couple things. Just to give council an update on where we stand with accreditation. We're moving forward. We've got a couple big hurdles we've got to accomplish here in the next short bit. We are scheduled for May 21st for our assessors to arrive from the state to go through all our stuff. We're well ahead of our schedule as far as what I thought we'd be at this point. It's been a hurdle for getting there. We're way ahead. I think we're going to achieve this goal quicker than I anticipated. We've got a great staff, and we put a lot of time and effort into this from everybody in the department. We'll know better by the 21st of May. Hopefully that afternoon we'll know after I have my meeting with them as to where we'll be. My staff is saying hopefully things go as well. We might be the first to fall, depending on scheduling and credit.
I would have bet you couldn't have done it in this amount of time.
Me.
I would have bet you wouldn't have been in a position that.
All of you are to be a credit, you know, to take some credit into this, because this would not have happened unless you guys agreed to do the things you've done in the last couple of years since I've been here. It's a big deal for you folks who don't really know much about it. The way things are going within our profession, things are changing. This is a whole new world we live in. And this profession is definitely changing. We see it almost weekly now. Whereas Mr. Watts being in, Mr. Tuggle, you being in this profession a long time, things will come down from, you know, General Assembly, maybe once a year.
Once a year, maybe twice.
Now it's revolving door changes. But I'm really proud of what we've been able to accomplish at this point. I'll have a better idea come May. I have a better report for you. You probably won't hear much from me. I'm buried in it right now. It's taking a lot of my time. It's a good thing. Just giving you guys a heads up where we stand. We've got it. There are some things me and Ms. Parker have to talk through to get to where we need to be. And hopefully that will happen shortly. We've already been here met with staff a couple weeks ago. And things are going well. I'm excited. Last thing, putting a little bit more responsibility on the guys as we become accredited and getting to that point. Each officer is changing kind of things up a little bit, where we're trying to give other officers a little bit more of a bite of the pie. And like running programs and getting more involved in the community, that's my goal in a long way. So each officer will eventually be running a different program, you know, regarding like Halloween events, you know, theological, that kind of thing. So Investigator Watts approached me a couple weeks ago after I mentioned all this, and he wants to do a trash pickup twice a year. Which, Ms. Wheaton, you did an excellent job with your group. You guys went through town, mm-hmm. picked up, I don't know how many bags of trash.
It was a group effort.
As you well know, we have a lot of trash in the town. But why people throw trash out the window, we can't seem to catch them. They're obviously going to get ticketed if they're caught. But we're going to do that probably twice a year. It'll be a community event where we'll invite everybody in. We'll have some food and refreshments, that kind of thing. But we'll go out and we'll get bags. We'll do what we got to do. We'll make that a two-time a year event. Just to give you an idea where we're heading. But thank you for, in your group.
Oh.
There was another group I heard that was doing something too, but you cleaned up, it was 2-3 days later, it was like you hadn't even been through it.
Well, no, I think credit needs to be given to Virginia Myers.
I didn't know who it was.
She
is
the one.
You were involved.
Well, I helped, I was a volunteer with her.
I got you.
You know, so she gets all the credit, and she is spearheaded, and she's a go-getter, and appreciate
the streets do look so much better through here.
She and there's several people from the Elon area here in town, mm-hmm. Sweetbriar, so it's definitely a group. I was part of a group.
These guys have done a good job too. I saw them out this week there, vacuuming mm-hmm. the streets, making things look tidy.
Oh, the maintenance, that's fabulous. They've done a great job.
But just a heads up, you know, it's kind of giving you guys an idea. You'll start to see a few more things, especially after we get some of all these restrictions have absolutely just been proved for, you know, accomplished.
Chief, you've done an amazing job, yeah, especially with all of it, but with the preservation. But I was looking at your report for the month, and considering that we're starting to get people vaccinated, most of the police departments vaccinated.
95%.
Is it time to start stepping up traffic enforcement again?
We have, but I'm glad you brought that up, because it's been bothering me. I've had a couple of discussions with Ms. Carter, and, you know, I have to be careful what I say here, because times have changed. Mm-hmm. We have a whole set of different rules we have to follow now. And with what the state has done, you know, we must follow. Traffic enforcement is a different story now. There's only a few things that we really are capable of constantly writing tickets.
You mean write speeding tickets, right?
Speeding tickets, reckless driving, or DUIs, that kind of things. But tags are 4 months out.
Yeah.
It's just a whole different, you know, and you'll start seeing more, but, you know, we were trying to protect our officers there for a while.
Sure, I understand that.
You know, we didn't want people getting sick, and then we had to wait on this vaccination.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 or 4 months of just not knowing.
Well, it's been longer than that, I think. We've been in sort of a limbo, and rightly so, because you want to protect the officers and the people that you stop. But I have to agree with Ms. Carton that speeding is actually out of control on Main Street again. I mean, it is.
It's awful. I mean, I'm on Main Street every day, and I just look at them just fly by, and it's not 35. They're going 55 miles an hour down Main Street.
I've seen that.
Well, I'm not here to argue it. I know. I talk to my guys daily. They're not seeing that. You know, if they're setting school zones or a total different time now. The time zone, the schools are going into 10, so we don't have that fluctuation of traffic in there. I've talked to state officials, I've talked with the troopers. You know, it's just.
I certainly can't argue with you. You have the store, but I walk, and I see you guys. You're out all the time. I don't see this. I've heard it before, but I don't see the speeding unless I'm the one doing it. But I don't see it. But you guys are so.
They're
state
constantly
police
running
you.
Radar.
I'm
not
surprised.
Like every car speed, because certainly
looks,
not.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a fair share of.
Well, that's why we need to look at the sidewalk issue, and that may slow some, you know.
Yeah.
May I ask you a question since we're on this topic, Chief? Is there any way, since Ms. Turner brought this up too, I found that when you all put that little sign thing up, is that ours for the speed limit thing?
Yes.
It slows
when you
them
did
down.
That,
helps.
It slowed
it
people
really
way down, especially right here in this strip, which I see is the worst.
Is it still locked up?
Light.
Why can't we get it and get it to the shop?
Is it not working?
Store it to the shop if we can get it out of there. I mean, I know what you put up.
I get it. You know, if that's something you guys want out there on a weekly basis, that will more.
It should be somewhere every week.
I think you keep moving it.
You know,
around.
You put it on Sunset Drive, you put it on Main Street, you put it on. And I think, you know, we've got this resource. If we can get to it somehow,
mm-hmm.
we need to use it.
All right. Chief, thank you. And I appreciate what you guys are doing. I see them up on North Main.
And speeding tickets and stuff are big, you know, but, you know, and we'll do better at that. That's what council wants. We'll do better at that. But right now, we've got a lot of big fish to fry.
Judge Eggleston's getting tired of seeing it.
So, you're trying to see what?
The speed.
Yeah.
He's lowering his threshold.
Oh, then you know something.
Yeah.
All right, Ms. Hunt.
Just that, I want to tell y'all that we are using the new video, audio and video in here, the cameras, and we're streaming, we are recording, and hopefully it all sounds
good. Do you have a way to tell how many people YouTubed us tonight?
Not at the moment, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
And, all right, Ms. Carter, do you have anything?
Just one brief thing. I am working with the Planning District Commission, having some conversations with them to look at applying for a VDOT Transportation Alternatives grant. That is an 80-20. We have to pay 20% of it, but what I'd like to do is start with the phase three items in the walkability study. Because we've never done one of these transportation alternatives grants, what I want to do is kind of start with something that's very clear and finite and I think really matches the criteria. So my thought would actually be to start at the traffic circle where we don't have all the crosswalk stuff great there. And then also where there's that gap in the sidewalk at CVS. So kind of completing segments fits really neatly into that program. So Ada with the PDC is very interested in doing these transportation alternatives grants, so we're going to work with her to do that.
Do you have to come to the TPO?
I don't know if we have to get it approved through that.
I'm just asking because I'm going to be the chairman of TPO next year. Well, starting in July, so I just, you know, that's going to be a push.
Yes, I don't know that we need to get them to approve it or not, but I wanted to let council know that I am working on seeing if we can get something moving with that because of council's interest, and particularly timing wise, this is when we need to get it in on that program.
Okay. Thank you. Matters from council, Mr. Bunch.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Carton?
Yes.
Mr. Wright?
As usual, possible two things. One, I think we may have just covered that with the, don't grab that yet. We may have just covered the thing with, I don't want to let our retreat slip. Right. Is that what we're going to talk about in June as well?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And the second thing is, I'm going to throw every proposal for the name for the park, whatever that park may wind up looking like. And I'm going to propose that we name it Mill Race Park.
Okay.
I said.
You second that?
I made a
motion. Is that in a motion?
It is a motion now.
Yeah.
Is that what the students came up with?
Well, the students, we haven't got the stuff from the students yet. And I think it's because of the...
It's been quite a few months.
Yeah, but I think part of that is they're going to school 2 days a week. So it wasn't, you know, put out there. I would request that we hold it just to give the students...
I'd like
to have 6 or 7 months. I know, but they're only going 2 days a week. And so they're trying to jam so much in them 2 days.
Have they forgotten? Is it gone off the radar?
Well, I have talked to Wells about it. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to see Wells. So I will talk to him about it again.
I'll withdraw the motion this month.
Okay. And we'll find out where they're going next month. I mean, I'll know next month where they're going. Okay, is that all you had, Mr. Wright?
That's all.
Mr. Turner? No, I don't.
Well, I would say that I didn't have anything to say, but since Mr. Hawks brought that up, I guess I do have something to say. Well, I would like to, before that motion comes up, like to have some, that's what I thought was going to happen, was that the students were going to, and I think that forms community, and I would like to kind of
It got laid out there and it just stopped.
Well, so did the rest of the world. I mean, we're in that, but we're getting ready to come out of that in some shape or form. And I think the students are going to try to go back
in
person. But I just wanted to, I'd like to see that. I was kind of excited that that was on the table. So, anyway, that's all I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No.
Sure. I don't have on that, and we don't have any citizens that came in and wanted to talk. That's Mr. Driscoll's coat. Right there. Other than that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
All
right. Got that from Mr. Wilder. Second?
Yes.
Second from Ms. Carter. That's good. Ms. Wheaton?
Yes.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Wilder?
Aye.
Just all right, carry 500.
No.